Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Wasn't that sweet? Isn't he wonderful? What a sweet presence in here tonight. I don't have pockets. Oh, yeah, I do. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for everything you released through the worship already and through through the power of the cross. We want everything that you want us to have. You know, there's nothing like entering in the presence of the King. It's kind of like sliding into home plate. You're safe. Sometimes there's a battle to find, you know, we labor to enter his rest. Sometimes there's a battle to find the place of rest in him. And as we find our way in a darkness, with the schemes of the enemy that have been cast, the nets that have been set, the traps, it's all designed to keep us out of the presence, because in his presence we get healed, we get delivered, we get revelation, we get dreams, we get oneness with the Father. It all comes from the presence. The presence is very important, and we need to learn to steward his presence. And it's not taught a lot. And, you know, we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, and we see it in the churches today. And unfortunately, we've patterned a copy of what we think it should be. First of all, it's not an it. It is he. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and when he steps into a place, the atmosphere shifts. When we connect with him, there is dunamis power that is released in us and through us for his good pleasure. He loves to show us off. He loves to say, look at that one. Look at that one. The enemy says, oh, you're dirty and you're a mess, but look, this is my little one. This, she's an overcomer. He's an overcomer. He came through the schemes of the enemy because he trusted me. Trust. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The object of the enemy is for you to lean on your own understanding, because then you will have crooked paths. It's called deception, and it happens all the time. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who dwells inside of us. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we've got the Comforter. We've got the King's right hand, so to speak, the man of the hour, who is here on earth to lead and guide us into all truth. But the problem is, we rely on our own understanding and think we know better, and it causes delays in the Spirit for things to manifest in the natural, and so then we second guess everything, and then we push forward our own agenda because we think, well, God just didn't come through. Who am I talking to? Come on now. I know I'm talking to people in this room. We're going to have interaction tonight, whether you like it or not. I have a feeling that God's about to break some chains in here. Chains we don't even know we have on, because they've become so accustomed. They're like a coat we put on and we keep on all the time to stay dry. Listen, I don't want dry. I want wet, soaked Holy Spirit. I want the rivers of God to flow through me, out my belly, where when I walk into a room, people know Jesus is in the house. I'm tired of playing church, I'm tired of formulas, and I am crying out to God to deliver me from myself. Anybody else? Is that the cry of anybody else in here? Yeah. It's crazy. I've been in this dilemma with the Lord for, it seems like the wait season sometimes gets long. But he told me a long time ago, don't dress that house up. Don't buy curtains and don't buy furniture. Keep pressing in. Meanwhile, there's this thing called drift. Drift. It's kind of like the waves in an ocean. You're playing in the sand, you're playing in your shallow water, and all of a sudden you realize you've drifted. And you can't see your point of where you stepped into the water. Where was I before all this happened? And this is, spiritual drift is real, and it's subtle, and it's a design of the enemy working against our flesh and our spirit so that we don't even know we're drifted away. Anybody in here tonight?
Yep.
Am I talking to somebody in here?
Yep.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The only way to come back to the center of God is through repentance. It's a wonderful, marvelous thing, repentance. Sometimes people don't want to repent because they think, well, then I got to admit I don't know everything or I'm wrong. Well, listen, I repent all the time because I'm always wrong. God's always right, and I'll never outsmart God ever. And I gave up trying, but here's what happens. That subtle thing of comfort or delay tries to steal the blessings of God and cause me to look away for just a split second of from the promises that he spoke into my life. And then if you look away long enough, what happens is you start to see the world through the world's eyes. You start to see life through media instead of looking at the Father and the Word of God, which brings truth and correction and direction every day. There's this thing that happens to people, myself included, where you start to settle. And it's subtle, and it's like dust. You don't know that there's dust until all of a sudden you go, whoa, I could write my name in that. You know, ask Kina. The thing about dust is it's subtle, and it's constant, and then one day it's very noticeable. And that's called backsliding in the spirit. It's subtle. It doesn't happen overnight. But then one day you're like, you know, I used to read the Word of God. I used to get up and pray at 3 a.m. I remember when the Lord would make me up and I would get up and go for walks with him. Listen, we get old in our walk with God. We have to fight that and stay fresh like a baby in our walk with God. And there are things we can do to help us overcome the obstacles of our flesh. And here's the funny thing about that. What used to work often doesn't work when you're in this state. And somehow the dullness and the stale food from heaven prevents us from eating the nutrients of heaven because we've settled on leftovers and they're kind of like carbs. They don't give you any nutrition, but it's like a satisfying sensation of something to do. Now, I am very guilty of the something to do. I have to battle against this every day because I like to do. But sometimes the Lord's saying, do me. Do that later. Do me now. And I say, Lord, I will, but let me just do. And he says, no, I'm calling you home. But here's what happens. If you disobey the call of the Lord, eventually it's harder to hear when he's wooing you and saying, hey, psst, come here. Do this. Don't do that. Now, I watch the eye of the Lord come in the room tonight. I don't see it every night. You know, and I love when I see that because it's, well, first of all, it's frightening in a good way, but it's also delightful because he's roaming the earth, looking to see our hearts and what's going on in our hearts. And he's not like, aha, you're up to no good. He's like, aha, they're worshiping me. And what it is, it's the fragrance of worship that draws his eye into a place. And so You know, I've only seen this a couple times, and I just love when he does that. But when he does that, there is an anointing, a different anointing in the room, because it's like the presence of the Father is in the house. Now, I love Jesus. I love Holy Spirit. But when the Father's presence manifests, here's what happens. Healings are instantaneous. Deliverance is supernatural. There's no effort when it's the Father. There's no effort anytime in the Spirit, because if you're effortlessly trying to deliver somebody, you're probably in the flesh. And I had to learn that. You know, you have to learn how to walk in the supernatural, how to walk in the Spirit, because a lot of people don't know. And it's not you learn it and then one day you're great. No, you learn every day. Every day we start on our knees. Every day we crawl a little further. And every day we cling to his mercy and grace, because we can't do anything without him. And so as we're going through tonight, I saw the Lord doing a couple things. I saw him supernaturally healing people. I didn't see who it was. I just saw the healing in the room. And so right now, if you need healing in your body, take it. Now, here's the thing. I am so sick of conditions that we manage or get used to. I am so sick of the doctor's report that we believe. And then we medicate because we believe the doctor's report while we're believing for our healing. How about we believe for our healing right now? Right now. How about we insist upon it right now? You know, we live in a supernatural environment. How about let's participate in the supernatural environment? Let's not be spectators. What do you need from God tonight? Don't look at me. Look to him. He is the healer. He is the great physician. And there's nothing he will withhold from anyone who loves him. He just can't. He's full of love. Love oozes constantly from the throne. And so what do you need? Do you need eyesight correction? We get used to wearing glasses all the time. How about, no, I want 100% vision in the Spirit and in the natural. And I'll take it right now, Father, because Jesus provided that from the cross. He took care of that. You know, when my back got hurt and I got crushed, I reminded Jesus that he was crushed also, and that there was a great exchange that took place. And you know what? I got healed. It took about a week from a very severe injury, but I got healed like that in two nights of worship at a conference in Grand Junction. I'm just saying, he is spectacular. Let's expect the spectacular. Let's get out of our, well, let's just do church. It's not Wednesday anymore. It's a Tuesday night Bible study. It's a Wednesday night service. I got to wait until the elders pray over me. What about Jesus? How about him? Let's go to the source instead of the elders and your neighbor. Go straight to the Word of God and demand his promises and what his Word says over our lives. Now, when I was praying, one of the songs came on. I don't even know. I was not paying attention. But I felt a spirit of conviction come on me, and I started repenting. I started seeing, you know what? It's so easy to get lukewarm. So easy. Oh, life is so easy. Life is so good. You know, you remember when you first got saved and it wasn't so good? Do you remember how you had to battle and overcome every obstacle, every assignment of the enemy, finances, you know, whatever, addictions? Do you remember those early days when you first met Jesus? First of all, when you met him, you were like, ah, this is too good to be true. And then you go through this honeymoon phase of, I'll die for Jesus. I'll do anything he says. And you mean it, and you do it. But then life comes along, and you get old. And you're still believing the promises, but you're old in your thinking. Now, I'm not saying everybody is, but I don't want to let age have anything to do with God's promises in my life. I will contend unless I drift. And when I drift, I ask the Lord to help me. I pull out weaponry that I have just developed through God, not through me, because I couldn't do it in my flesh. He gave me some strategies, different strategies for the season we're in. See, what worked before doesn't always work now. And I was trying to do what worked before, and it wasn't working. I was still against the wall. And I'm like, What gives? And the Lord said, you're in a different season, and you're drifting, and you recognize you're drifting, but you're trying to do what you used to do to come back to the center of me, and it's not working because there's new strategies of the enemy that they have laid traps on, and I'm going to tell you about it. There's traps that he laid. There's witchcraft that has been assigned against you to block you from breaking through to the next level in him. Can anybody relate to this? And so we need to put our boots on. And we got to say, you know what? I'm done with, okay, I'm settling. Life is good. Listen, I started to say this. When we get saved, we realize, oh my gosh, he's so good. I don't deserve any of this. And the some blessings are instantaneous, and some you walk together with him and work it out. You reason together, but in faith, because you're still believing for every promise that's been written in the book. And you're like, okay, okay. And then you start to see the promises, and you're like, okay, okay. I do believe, help me with my unbelief becomes your best friend, because you see stuff that's happening, but yet you see delays that are still delaying, and you're like, ah, wretched man, which way do I go? You go to the promises of God, and you speak them, and don't settle for, well, I'll do it tomorrow because I got a list I got to take care of today in the flesh. I got to knock out these projects. That's what the enemy wants us to do. He will lull us. I got a book I got to finish. He will, oh, I got to call my whatever. He will find the bait that you bite to prevent you from the breakthrough that Jesus already provided. We talked about the blueprints before. Hey, am I yelling? I'm kind of amped up. Am I yelling? Oh, boy. We talked about the blueprints. We've seen them. You know, we've been in, you know, in our place in God, and we see, oh, my Lord, this is where he wants to take me. And then we try to figure it out, and we work through with him, but then there's a delay. And then we're like, okay, well, I'm still going after what God's promised me. And then there's a delay. And that, well, that's okay. I'm still doing it because I've seen the blessings. I know he's real. I know it's true. But then there's a delay. Delay is designed for two things. To say, what am I missing? You didn't expect that, did you? What's my problem? Oh, sure, you didn't expect that one either. See, those are questions we have to ask the Holy Spirit. Because if there's delay, it's either on our part or it's a scheme of the enemy. It's never God. God will cause us to be in a position to be pressed. Not so he can go, aha, I knew you couldn't do this. It's so that you go, oh, I got an issue I need to deal with. Lord, how do I deal with this? And I'll give you a clue. It's always repentance. It's always repentance. Lord, I didn't know. Lord, I should have known. Lord, help me. You know, I'm so sorry. Help me overcome this stupid thing I continue to do. Why am I doing that? And he'll go, oh, you want to know why? It's because you have a little oppression. It's because you have a false belief system. It's because you've settled. Are there any settlers in here tonight? Are you in camp because you're settling? Listen, when we first met Jesus, we were alive and on fire. And then he'd come alongside of us and we're like, we're doing it with Jesus. This is great. And then we're doing it, but Jesus is a little further away, but we're doing it. And the next thing you know, we're open season for the enemy because we've walked away or ahead of the Lord in what he wants us to do. Now, has anybody done that?
Yes.
Okay. So what happens when you do that? You, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry I got ahead of you. I am so sorry. Will you help me stay in sync with you? And by the power of the Holy Spirit helps us stay in sync with him. He's the neutralizer. He's the grease of the hub. He's the, you know, he's the axle of the wheel that we keep pushing forward in. But if we're not in him and spending time with him, we go to get a little rusty and then crusty and then resentful and then blame God because our promises didn't come through that he said. Why is it some people can get the promises of God and others can't? Is it because they're better? Is it because they're special? It's because they won't quit. Will you not quit tonight? I see him stirring stuff up. And here's the thing. when we were young in God, when we were like, oh my gosh, it's too good to be true, we walked with him, we talked with him, and then something happened. And it's the something happened. Everybody can say this. I mean, there's not one person this hasn't happened to, correct? Are we all on the same page, or are we still in denial and no, I'm the perfect Christian and nothing's ever bad happened to me and I've got it. I'm the one that's got it. Listen, if you think you got it, you're in deception. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy loves to deceive us. You know why? This is like a cruel thing that he does. It's not to make us sad or bad. It's so that he goes to God. Look it. This is one of yours. And look it. They're deceived. They're not even following you with their whole heart anymore. They're thinking they're following you, but they're following a foul spirit. They're following a form of religion or a form of the Lord, but it's been tainted with false teaching or false imaginations, vain imaginations. Let's talk about horoscopes. One horoscope, whatever they're called, can't hurt. Listen, when you play with that stuff, you're playing with the devil. Whether it looks fancy or if it's written down or you know, let's go fortune cookies after a good Chinese meal. Crack open the thing. Here's your fortune. You're participating in a form of God that isn't God, the King. You're participating in a false religion. A little won't hurt. Listen, do you want to open the door? Even a crack. Do you know how hard it is to stop water when a little pinhole happens? It's miserable. It keeps coming because it's looking for a place of pressure to release. And when it finds it, there you are with the tape trying to stop it again. Listen, the enemy's the same way. He's looking for our weak points. Now, God has provided the way through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus and the cross, to bring us into the fullness, not like the partness, the fullness of God himself. Think about that for a second. That is huge. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Listen, we're seated in heavenly places, far above, so we can rule and reign as kings and ambassadors. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then when we see something come along, we just say no or yes, rise up and walk, whatever it is. So if you're in drift or if you're backslidden, you ever been backslidden? I think I repented in front of everybody when I was backslid a couple months ago. I'm not too proud to say when I'm messing up. I don't want nothing between me and my Father. You know, busyness. I have people that watch me to make sure that I don't fall down that path because it's dangerous for me. Busyness is the bait, the easy bait to stop dealing with what God wants to deal with. It's kind of like for people that overeat, which I used to do this, it's kind of like the cake that you eat because, I deserve it, or, it's a reward. Listen, you know what the reward is? Those that diligently seek him. That's who he rewards. I'm tired of the counterfeit. I'm tired of the junk. I want the pure Holy Ghost. I want the resurrection power that Jesus promised me at the cross. And I'm tired of the schemes of the enemy trying to block and stop. One of the biggest blocks and stops of the enemy is witchcraft. Can we talk about that in church, or is that taboo-y? Witchcraft is real. It's the fastest growing religion. We need to wake up to it. We need to stop participating in it. I talked a little bit about astrology. What about the psychic stuff? You know, I'm going to go get a reading. Do you know when you do that, there is a hook in the spirit that is, it's like a key. It's a hook in the spirit that they put in your soul so they can access it 24/7. I'm serious. I've seen it. Well, I'm just playing. You're playing with the hell, the fire of hell. You're playing with the demons. You're playing with the witch covens. All not to be played with. Now, we have the power through Jesus Christ and the blood and our testimony to override any plan of the enemy. And that's what I was doing on my face over there during one of the songs. I saw the scheme of the enemy. I was repenting, and I see this scheme of traps, like little traps that and some stuff that was spoken. And immediately, I took authority of that, and boom, clarity. Are you foggy? Are you foggy? You tired? I'm just so tired. This walk is so hard. Any of that coming on you? Listen, those are word curses that have been placed on you. And you have to take responsibility and break those words spoke over you, pour the blood of Jesus over them, render them null and void, that they have no power, and then you speak life. You speak the word. You come to services and you get so tired, you just, and I'm not talking to you because you, I know, my good friend's here tonight and she goes to bed at 7, so this is good for her. She's up past her Betty by time. You go to a service, let's say it's a 2 o'clock in the afternoon service, and you've just had lunch and a nap and you come to a service and all of a sudden you're just like, oh. And it's not the Holy Spirit that is soothing you or relaxing you. It's a dulling spirit designed to pick the seeds that were sown into your heart during that message. The birds come and take the prey. And so we have to start recognizing if that's happening to us. I see it a lot. Sometimes you'll hear me say, you know, whatever the Lord has me say. I bind that spirit of lethargy, whatever it is. He knows it. I don't. I'll take authority over it if I see it going in the room. Now, if this is a constant thing in your life, chances are there's a door open. Because it just doesn't happen, okay? You have to come into agreement with the foul spirit, whether you know it or not. Well, what if I don't know it? Well, then pour the blood of Jesus over your mind. Command any word curse spoke against you to be broken. I remember there was a season in my life, long, long time ago, when everything was shaken and everything was breaking, and I was in a church that they thought things should go a different way than they were going. And I'm listening to the Lord, and these people are holding hands, praying a specific prayer that the Lord had no part of. Do you think that doesn't happen a lot? What about a Bible study? You're in a Bible study. Everybody's, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, life is good. Meanwhile, their marriage is falling apart. Their life is falling apart. Finances are falling apart. They're just trying to stay above and not be underneath. And no one's helping them because they're so dull in the spirit that and they're so self-absorbed with their own issues that they don't see a bleeding sheep in amongst them. I see it all the time. I see it all the time, and it shouldn't be this way. We need to sharpen each other up. If somebody is bleeding silently, it is our obligation to pray for them, get the word of the Lord. Maybe he says, just keep praying, or maybe he says, give them some money, or maybe he says, make a phone call, set a lunch date. Whatever it is, we follow through. We have to stop being so self-centered. Not me. I'm not self-centered. How do I look? You get it? We get so used to the way we are, we don't even recognize that we have self-centeredness is an easy target for the enemy. I have to watch myself with that because I like my time. I have to be careful that I'm giving God his time and I'm ministering as he wants me to. And if I want to stay home, I don't get a choice in that. I have to follow through even when I don't feel like it, which is more than I'd like to admit. So that means I have an issue with being self-centered. So I need deliverance of that. And so I seek the throne of grace. I ask him, I repent, and I ask him to give me his heart and his compassion for his people. And you know, he does and he will. And slowly I've come out of this little, it's all about me. It's not about me at all. It's all about him. It's all about you guys connecting with him and helping the lost and the broken. That's what it's about. So for those of you who are in Bible studies, and listen, when I say that, let me just say something. I am not talking to the people in this room. I am talking to anybody who listens to this recording later also. So don't take this personal. But if you're in a Bible study and you get together In fact, I could even name the people because I see them in the spirit, but I'm not. So, okay? So it's nobody in this room, okay? If you're at a Bible study and you're doing Bible study and you get together and you have your meal and you fellowship and you read the word and you bless each other and you go home, I'm just going to ask you, where's the challenge of iron sharpens iron? Why? What about people being real? We've become too fake with that cliche, I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Isn't that a great answer to avoid, I am dying on the inside. I need help, but I don't even know which way to go. It's a cover-up. And don't you think the devil loves when you say that? Because then you go under the radar, and he continues to torment you and beat you with words and accusations and tell you that you're no good. Listen, condemnation is of the devil. That is not of God. And if you struggle with condemnation, has anybody ever struggled with condemnation in here? Yeah, you're not alone. People who struggle with condemnation think it's only them. Let me just tell you that. He loves to separate the sheep from each other so that they don't talk and go, oh, you're going through this too? How did you get through it? Well, I repented. I turned from my evil ways. I don't have evil ways. I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really? What about the behavior? What about the thoughts? We can manage when we're around our Christian friends just fine, can't we? How are we doing at home with our loved ones? We snapping? We biting? We judging? Ooh, I'm getting mean. Listen, I'm not saying all this because I'm pulling people out. I'm saying it because I'm exposing the devil and his lies and the tricks and the traps he uses to keep us in the cycle of regret. I don't want regret. I want to be able, when the Lord takes me home, and I am not going home one day sooner than the day he calls me, I will not allow sickness or disease or tragedy or accidents to have anything to say over the destiny that God put me here. You know, I used to say, well, I kind of wish he'd take me home now. I'm sick of this world. I'm not, because I want to do what he told me to do. He gave me a package. He gives us all a package, and he wants us to fulfill his package into the earth. And when we're done, he takes us home without sickness, without delay. It's just like, okay, you're going to come home tonight. Okay, I'm going to kiss my loved ones, tell them I'm leaving, and then let's go. It doesn't have to be traumatic. It doesn't have to be full of disease. We got to start fighting that stuff. We got to start coming against old age. I am sick of that. I remember years ago the Lord said, don't let them in. Don't let old age get a hold of you. And I thought, huh? I wasn't even old yet. And you know, now I'm wiser and a few years older. But I'm going to tell you what my grandson said to me a couple days ago. I was watching him. I'm tired. You know, I got to get there at the crack of sunlight, which is to 8:30, which is early. It was 8:15 that day, which is really early for me. Okay, I got a lot I got to get done before I can go, and so I was kind of like, meh. And he's so full of energy and so full of life, and I'm watching him going, he knows how to live. He doesn't have a care in the world, not one care. And here I am thinking about this, and I'm like, Lord, I see you're showing me some stuff here. So we're playing, and he takes me outside, and he's playing in the yard. He loves mud. He loves mud. Yeah, and I'm not yelling at him to stay out of the mud. I'm like, go for it, buddy. That's what they make hoses for. Some people use a tub. I'm like, let's do the hose. And so we're playing, and he's still out there, and it's a couple hours, and I'm tired. You know, I had one cup of coffee. You know, and he's like, come on, Grandma, come on. And he holds my hand, and he drags me around, and I'm watching him. His imagination is opening up. Now, you're born with imagination, but because our language barrier when we're little, we don't know what they're saying. But we all have imaginations. I'm watching him through words now expressing his imagination. And I'm like, Lord, I want to be like that. I want my imagination to be so active and alive. Reignite it, Lord. Reignite it. Help me. I'm so sorry for being crabby over life. and the tragedies and all that. Lord, forgive me. So then we're playing, and he gets this bubble machine, which makes noise, and it swirls bubbles. And I'm just standing there, and he's doing these bubbles, and they're going all over. And he looks at me, and he goes, Grandma, chase the bubbles. And I'm like, my first thought was, I ain't chasing. And I'm like, chase the bubbles. Yes, I'm chasing the bubbles. And when I started chasing those bubbles, something opened up inside of me. Now, what was closed or capped was years of being tired, years of being a grown-up, years of doing it a certain way. I had some deliverance that day. And you know what? I want to chase the bubbles. And I don't care who's looking. Now, what about you? Well, I can't even raise my hands in church. What about that? Can we deal with that? Yeah. I remember the day, you know, because I was religious. The church I went to, we didn't raise our hands, okay? That was for the wackies. Those tongue talkers. Those holy rollers. Those spirit-filled people. What is up with that? I go to the church and, you know, they do their three songs. It was predictable. I liked predictable. The pastor would get up and maybe read a scripture, maybe not. They'd have a skit because, hey, we need to entertain the people so they come back next week. Well, let's give them coffee. Let's get them a cup of coffee and oh, how about cookies and donuts? That'll get them back into church. How about the Holy Ghost? I don't want counterfeit. And I'm not against seeker-friendly churches. I got saved in one. I got nothing bad to say about it, but there better come a day in my life where I'm stopping seeking and I'm searching. Amen. You know, I remember, oh, it's all about me. I'm in the seeker-friendly. I can drink coffee in here. They don't care. Oh, yes, entertain me. Entertain me. Entertain me. Entertain me, because it's all about me. Me, 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 me. Oh, get a Bible? I'll get a Bible. I won't read it. I'll just carry it, because that's what Christians do. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a follower of Christ. Yeah. Yeah, come on now. So, you get hungry for God. Something ignites when you say yes to him. Something just, it's the pilot light that lights and never goes out. And I was like hungry for God. And so we go to the midweek service. And there's somebody on the keyboard. She sings those songs, you know, the basic songs that everybody knows. And every once in a while, she'd do a hallelujah and raise her hand. I'm like, that is not part of the song. I didn't like it one bit. What's wrong with her? But there was something there I desired. It was the Holy Ghost. But I didn't know it then. He was wooing me. But my big old fat religious bow I was wearing, you know, I learned the lingo. You go to church, you learn the church lingo. I'll pray for your sister. You don't pray. You don't care. I'm fasting. You're eating donuts. Am I the only one that did that? I'm on the prayer team. Joe, I see your belly. You've been eating donuts too. I'm kidding. I'm on the prayer team. I don't know how to pray. Join a committee. Is it PTA? No, it's church, but it's PTA inside the church. The need to be needed. The need to fit in. Listen, when you go to a Holy Ghost church, you're not going to fit in. You know why? Because he's real, and so are you. And the expressions from the Holy Spirit are wonderful, and you can't explain them. But when you meet somebody who's filled with the Spirit, you know they're filled with the Spirit. There is a love language. It's a crazy thing. You know, I meet a lot of religious people. I can tell when I pray for people in the altar, I can say, oh, they were raised Catholic. I can still feel that Spirit on them. You know, there's a Spirit that attaches. Oh, Lutheran. Okay. I better shut up. I better shut it. Shut it. So here's the thing. We get used to or programmed to what we started in. We have to bust out of that stuff. When you get confronted with the raw power of the Holy Ghost, he gonna mess your hair. He's going to mess your theology. He's going to mess that religious spirit that has stuck itself on top of you and weaseled its way into your soul and your mind so that you stay in bondage and never receive the fullness of Jesus Christ. Ow. The long pause. So we've learned church language. We learn, oh, this church, they wear suits and dresses. I got to get my suits and dresses because I want to fit in. Listen, you're searching in the wrong place. Most churches are religious facilities for profit. They don't care about the people. They're bleeding sheep in a building. I've seen it over and over. And I'm not, listen, I don't like this. I don't like this part of the of Christianity where it becomes about the smoke and the mirrors, the donuts and the programs, and then the tithes. We say it here. Pray about it. Give wherever God tells you to give. Never give under compulsion. Listen, once you get roped in, here's another one. This is a fun one. You're going to church, you got your dress on and your suit on because that's what they do. You want to fit into that little flock. And then you start to wonder, I don't know, there's just something not right. It's not sitting right with me. And you start to question it and you start to ask the Lord, what is up with this? Why am I feeling uncomfortable? And guess what happens next? Ding-a-ding. Hi, yeah, this is the committee. We feel that you're very anointed and we need you to serve with us so you don't run away or question anything. And we're going to feed your need because you're needy and you won't even know that you're dying slowly in our church. Ooh, I'm being mean tonight. This isn't me. You know me. Lord said he wanted his way in here. Remember, we started off saying, he said, could I say what I want to say? I'm like, absolutely. Well, this is what he's saying tonight. If it was me, I would have preached on Psalm 91 tonight, okay? So that is called yielding to the Holy Spirit. And when you yield, there'll be fruit. People will get free in here tonight. You're going to go home and go, Some of you go, that's not me. And then the Holy Spirit's going to whisper and go, yeah, it was. You don't need your spouse to do it because the Holy Spirit is greater than your spouse. And so I'm trying to open up how things work in churches. And, I one time I went to minister. We were out, I think it might have been Colorado, but not where we normally go. We were guest speakers. Actually, Holly was speaking, and I walked into the place, and I went into a vision of what was happening in that building. I started crying my eyes out. I was so grieved, and I couldn't share it, and I couldn't say anything because they're all acting like everything's great in that church. And I'm like, oh. And what's worse is it happened on the in the altar, like up in the area. And I was like seeing the picture. I couldn't even make up a picture of what I saw. I'm not into pornography. I guard my mind. And what I was seeing was so grotesque. And I was on the floor grieving and repenting. And somebody like leaned over and said, it's going to be okay. I'm thinking, you are clueless what I'm praying through. I was praying through travailing a very horrendous, hideous act that took place in God's house. And God closed that building up. I knew it was going to happen, but I was praying. It got exposed. I was praying for repentance to come forth. Because with repentance, we all mess up. We mess up. We make mistakes. And then what happens is it grows if we don't repent. And it grew in that church. And I'm like, I couldn't say anything to the elders. I couldn't say anything to the leaders. But I did share it with two people that were intercessors. And it was not good. And you know what? We talk about God sweeping the church. He is sweeping us because we are the church. He's exposing our hearts only for good pleasure for him. If we're off, if there's a little fruit that's weird, you know what? Let's not pretend that we don't have a little stink on us. It's okay to say, I don't know what this problem is. I've been praying for, I bet you, 6 months over something unseen, but I know it's off. That's a long time, but the Lord keeps reminding me, don't faint. The promises are true. Just keep pressing through. And eventually, I'm either going to see this, and it's going to go, or I'm going to push through, and there's going to be a huge victory. And I'm going for the huge victory. It's easy to go, drift. Just settle myself down. I'm going to watch TV tonight. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm just going to check out. It's important not to check out. If we're checking out, if you're checking out, there's a reason why you're checking out. And it's because there's a lull, because there's a breakthrough, and the enemy doesn't want you to get it. Is this making sense to you guys? So I don't want to scare people, but I want us to wake up. A lot of times churches are not what they seem to be. Now, I am not church bashing. I have been to some phenomenal churches whose hearts are truly the Lord's. And I love when there's a heart. And you get stinkers that come in. Let's talk about that. You know, there's a heart for people who love God and their church is all on fire. And then they'll send a witch in to try to, you know, cause discord and maybe cast a spell against the pastor, or whatever, some seductive spirit tries to infiltrate to bring that down. Do you want to know how to overcome that? This is a real big one. Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Well, I don't see the fruit of it. Do you see my hand behind my back? But I still have one. Because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real and that it's not beneficial. We need to develop our spiritual muscles. Well, praying in tongues, it's boring. Sometimes it is. It's kind of like exercise. We have to set a schedule, and we have to. When you pray in tongues, you are front sliding. You're setting your course for victory. And the enemy, meanwhile, is throwing darts. It's not really working. It's a foreign language. Where's that in Scripture? Well, how about X? How about a book? So listen, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. If you are not praying in tongues, it's okay. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And I won't even tell you about that. Okay. So there is a need in this hour for us to grow in discernment. One of my jobs is to help people grow in discernment. I talk about the stuff that most people won't. It's always not popular, but it's always necessary. And you came tonight because God wanted to speak to your heart. I had no clue what he was going to say. I told you that. But he knew what I was going to say because I'm yielded. Now, I wanted to add a couple things, and he said no, so I didn't. Because he wants to get things across in a way where we understand it. Are you understanding it? Yeah. Are you recognizing schemes or little traps that you thought, oh, I thought there was something off on that? Here's the thing. When you recognize that you're off, that's a good thing. It's kind of like you're the car and there's a check engine light that goes on. That's time to pull over and take a look and figure out what's going on. Look under the hood if there's a problem. We did a teaching on that. And I'll just tell you what happens. If you don't pull over and there's a problem with your engine, guess what happens to your vehicle? Ask me how I know. 80 miles an hour on the way home from Colorado. We drove out there with the check engine light on. We drove home with the check. It's been on because it's got an issue. What is that called? The exhaust. Yeah, that's what they told me. Until the day we're driving and all of a sudden it starts flashing. That's not good. I'm like, well, it's flashing. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus isn't covering that because there were warnings before that I ignored. So I had to take quick action and pull over and then Google the nearest service station. And then also Google, can I drive when it's flashing? You know, how bad is it? It's bad, okay? 8-cylinder truck driving on 4 cylinders is what it was. That's kind of like us. If the check engine light or if our oil is low, how do we get fresh oil? Who knows? What? Go to the throne. Yep. Yep. Go to the secret place. There's going to come a day. He's coming back. Is your lamp going to be full with oil? Or is it going to be burning dimly because we got delayed, we got tired, we got busy with something else, we got tricked, or we just said, it's too hard. It's been like this for so long. Listen, when he's coming back, he's looking to see who's filled with his oil. And that parable is like, you can't run to your neighbor. First of all, they're not even going to be paying attention to you. And whether or not you need to borrow some oil, they're not going to give you any because you can't borrow what's fresh from him. It's an impossible kingdom principle. In the natural, you can borrow flour from your neighbor, sugar from your neighbor, but you can't borrow presents from the King of Kings. It's impossible. And you can't go to the throne of grace with your whole neighborhood. It's an intimate thing between you and the Father, you and the Lord, you and Jesus, and that has to be done continually throughout the day. Not once a day, not once a week, continually. You have to continually, it's almost like you have to force or choose to gaze on him. Even while you're doing stuff, you know, because your mind can work, but your spirit is active and alive all the time. You ever do dishes and pray in tongues? You can do two things at once. It's the same thing, but we need to train our gaze to be on him, kind of like Brother Lawrence. Train our gaze while we're doing whatever. But here's what I started to say, and I didn't finish, and the Lord wants me to say it. What used to work is not working anymore. We're in a different season. If you haven't felt it or know it or recognize it, you know, it's like there's greater revelation if you can adjust your chair. Remember earlier tonight, I'm like, pick a different chair, and everyone's like, I want my same chair. That's good, but go after the best. And maybe you get up at 6 in the morning and you spend time, you know, devotion or whatever, and then you always sit in the same place and you drink your coffee while you're doing it. I'm challenging you to stir things up in the spirit because there's revelation knocking that we're missing because we're dull, because we're used to doing it a certain way. God's got more blessings for us. How about you? Do you want them? Yes. Me too. And so, Father, I ask you to stir in our hearts, bring forth, stir it up, the things that you want to show us, the things you want to teach us, and the things you want to speak to us. I ask you to help us, Holy Spirit, guard our hearts against distractions, open our eyes to any kind of deception, and let us repent from it quickly. We don't go on feelings. We go on the Word, and we go on the Spirit. And so I'm asking you to sharpen us and help us grow up, help us continue to pray in tongues to develop our spiritual muscles so that we can rule and reign in any situation at any time, that we can listen when a storm comes or a thunderbolt comes, we can back up just a hair our position in the Spirit and go, Father, what do you say? And he says, fear not, for I am with you. Or move forward, press through. I'm praying that we hear in such a way that there's never any delay. In Jesus' name, amen.